I was going to say one thing I didn't get to say on the last podcast that I think we should talk about, or I want you guys to talk about it after I'm gone, is the fact that, like Shane was saying, really realistically, this draft, you're drafting for 2018. You're not drafting for 2017. You're drafting a quarterback for 2018, and you're drafting these injured cornerbacks. I think it's the same conversation. And even the tackles, you're drafting Cam Robinson kind of for 2018, even if he doesn't beat out Charles Leno or Bobby Massie right now. You're drafting some of these offensive tackle prospects really for 2018, and I think same with some wide receivers. You have your Marcus Wheaton and your Kendall Wright and your and even you're hoping Cameron Meredith can step up, but you're kind of drafting for 2018 at almost every position here.
I wholeheartedly agree.
Cheers, Bears fans. This is Bears Barroom Radio. I am Aldo Gandia, and that was Lauren Cox starting us off on part two of our multi-part podcast series here on Draft Week. Hopefully you heard part one, but if you didn't, no worries. Just pretend you are at our virtual Bears Barroom. Walk on over to our table. We're seated under the picture of Walter Payton soaring over the Detroit Lions defenders, and join in on our discussion, which is already underway. Yeah, I mean, that's a great point. And to tag on to that, Lauren, let me ask you, this schedule that just came out looks really tough for the Bears, and it's too early, of course, to predict what the Bears' win and loss record will be, because it's much better to wait till we see the final roster, what the other teams in the division are doing, et cetera, et cetera. But, boy, if they get 5-6 wins out of this season, it would be tremendous. And then when you add in the fact that some of these players that are drafting, probably the majority of them, are players for 2018, doesn't that give you, reason to believe that John Fox will not be coaching this team in 2018?
Well, I think free agency was for John Fox. I think that was the, okay, John, we'll get you your quarterback. We'll get you two new starting cornerbacks, at least cornerbacks with starting quality. We'll get you a new tight end. We'll get you two wide receivers that hopefully between one of them they'll be healthy and you'll have another weapon to replace Alshon Jeffery. We got you your backup offensive tackle. We kind of filled out most of the roster to where now me, Ryan Pace, I can draft for 2018 now. I've satisfied what you wanted for 2017. You can go and try and win on this schedule for 2017, and I'm going to look more long-term with the future of this team. And if you're there for that long-term future, great. And if you're not, sorry, but we're not gonna salvage this draft just to try and win 8 or 9 games in 2017. So I do go back and forth on whether or not Fox is or isn't secure, because I want him to not be. I want them to be 5 wins and he's fired, or 6, even 6 wins and he's fired. But I struggle to really believe that. I feel like Ryan Pace has sort of hitched himself to the John Fox bandwagon, and even if they win 5 or 6 games this year, as long as it's not 3-13 again, I struggle to feel like they're gonna make that change just yet.
Isn't it refreshing though, the way that Aldo put it is, I'm just saying that we're actually potentially building for the future rather than just the fucking Band-Aid. That you go out and, blow your wad in free agency at a guy that may work, might not work, but you have these 1-year guys, and like we said, maybe investing in one of these cornerbacks that does have a medical red flag, but, that could potentially pay off huge in the future. And, just like you said too, Aldo, you win 5, 6, 7 games in 2017, you don't get your quarterback this year, it's going to be that much harder for you to get to the top of the draft next year to get your quarterback. So that's another way. That's why maybe it's just me spinning this the way that I want it to play out with the quarterback. But to me, every time we talk about a different scenario, to me, it's just a big red neon light saying quarterback is where it needs to go come Thursday night.
Yeah, I'm totally with you. This is about rebuilding, and if the Bears win three games next season, I will not be upset as long as I see definite signs where we're improving and we're not getting blown out by 20 points. We're not getting embarrassed at Soldier Field, and just we'll put up with the boos from the idiot fans, but those in the know will know that by 2018 to 2019, we're going to have a team that's going to be competing for a championship. All right, in this portion of Bears Barroom Radio, we're going to play a version of Jose's Fuck, Marry, Kill, which if you haven't seen his article that was posted on Sunday over the weekend, whenever the hell it was posted, you really should. It's not for the faint-hearted, of course, because it is adult entertainment, but we've gotten great response from our followers on this article, and what we want to do is our own version of Bears Barroom Radio. Jose, if I can... impose on you to just explain how the game works for our listeners.
Okay, so you'd be given three names, and you have to decide which one you'd fuck, which one you'd marry, and which one you'd kill. It's pretty simple.
I'm killing Phil.
that would be fun to do with this cast of people, yeah. All right, we do want to start with Lauren because Lauren has to go either fuck, marry, or kill somebody. And so
a little bit of all three.
So we want to make sure that we get his input before he leaves. Lauren, here are the three names. I've picked three tight ends that could be drafted anywhere between the third and possibly fifth round, all right? And here are the guys we want you to label as fuck, marry, or kill. Tight end from Michigan, Jake Butt.
Oh, I'm used to fucking Butt. And So that one's easy. Next. Are you going to do Michael Vagina next?
tight end from...
You got to drop that. I used to be a tight end, but now I'm a wide receiver.
Finally, Larry Mouth.
The tight end from Virginia Tech, Bucky Hodges, and the tight end from Clemson, Jordan Leggett.
That's a good selection. I'm not going to lie.
Thank you.
Because my initial reaction was kill Jake Butt just because multiple ACL tears are definitely a tricky thing that you don't want to, especially with the Bears' history of injured players in the draft. It initially makes me cringe a little bit. But, you know, I'm going to actually marry Jake Butt. I think – he is probably, when healthy, the most talented tight end of the three. And I think because he's injured, it's going to take more of the marriage to kind of develop the relationship with Jake Butt and nurse him back to health. And before he can be easily a solid number one tight end for your team, I think he is just a dynamic receiver. And I think he's a more than capable blocker. I mean, the injury, I mean, he's not the best blocker in the world, but I really think he can stretch the seam and work sort of that Charles Clay type tight end where he's not, you know, he's not the elite Rob Gronkowski, Aaron Hernandez type, but he's a much more efficient receiver than your average tight end. You can move him in the slot a little bit if you want. You can even move him around in the backfield. And, you know, you marry him because you might have to take that first year off a little bit and kind of work him into more of a bigger role in the future. And then I'm gonna fuck Bucky Hodges, just because I think he's...
You could fuck Aaron Hernandez.
Too soon.
Oh my goodness. Good thing the FCC doesn't grant us a license for the show.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Lauren.
Yeah. Hodges, I think, is just – he's one of the more fun players in this draft just because of his crazy size and versatility, the way they used him in the spread offense there at Virginia Tech. I mean, he's, what, 6'7", 250, 260, right in that range, and he lined up a bunch at wide receiver for them and was almost more of a wide receiver than a tight end this past year. But it's, you know, and I would almost consider him using him there. But I think if you leave him in one spot, you're not quite getting enough of him because you can move him around and get matchups. I don't think linebackers are even, I struggle to say linebackers even big enough to keep up with him, but they're definitely not going to be fast enough. And obviously safeties aren't going to be big enough. He can be that size mismatch. And obviously another guy that's not going to be a good blocker by any means, but you're not going to ask him to really come down and do that. And I just don't think he's quite. I marry a guy like Jake Butt just because I'm a little bit more confident in his game all around, and I think he's just a little bit more of a solid, reliable player when healthy. And then that leaves me with the kill for Jordan Leggett. I don't have much against him. I just think he's the least talented of the three tight ends. I think he can do a little bit more for you in terms of, you know, blocking and working out of the backfield and being more of a bigger sort of inline tight end. But, you know, he's got good hands. He's just not quite as dynamic of a receiver. He's not as much fun, so I wouldn't really really want to fuck or marry him. So that leaves me to kill.
Lauren, go do whatever it is you got to do. And our listeners, please follow Lauren Cox at Cox Sports 1, and that's COXSPORTS number 1. Thanks, Lauren, for being on the show.
Hey Phil, don't forget to plug our Bears Hour Live draft plans at the end of the show.
Oh, tell us more what he should plug.
You son of a bitch. Well, this Thursday on Bears Hour Live, tune in 15 minutes after the Bears make their first draft pick in the first round, as Lauren Cox and Phil Tosha will go live on the air for the next hour to break down everything you need to know about that draft pick. Whether they're picking third, whether they trade down, whether they move up for their quarterback, whatever it takes, we'll be live 15 minutes after the pick.
Oh my God, did he just go through puberty right on air?
Either that or Aaron Hernandez is in the room with him. All right, Lauren.
All righty. Have a good show. All
right, Lauren. I'm sorry. I went to the bathroom, so I didn't hear what
you said. Oh, you're going for a treat then, Phil.
Oh, someone breaking my balls.
Lauren was breaking your butt.
Oh, yeah. There you
I think
go.
I heard him say, plug me, daddy, or something.
Christ. Jake Butt. Jose, we finished the draft. I'm sorry.
Yes. No, man, you must have taken a nice long shit.
Oh, I'm saying, did we do the sixth round?
No, we just did the first four rounds.
Okay, we're not doing five, six, and seven, right?
No,
I got you.
Now we're playing Fuck, Marry, Kill. So,
no, I know that. I know.
So tell
us. I killed you, Phil, while you were gone.
That's right. All right, so I'm going to turn it over to Jose now, and here are the three players I'd like you to comment on and designate as either a fuck, marry, or kill. Jose, given that it looks like the majority of the Bears Barroom panel here wants to grab a quarterback with the first pick, and I think that safety is a huge need, I want to identify three safeties that should be available in round two for the Bears, and I'd like you to designate fuck, marry, or kill. Those three safeties are Buda Baker from Washington, Marcus Williams from Utah, and Marcus May from, where's Marcus from? From Florida.
Oh, okay. All right, so I'm going to fuck. This just feels wrong saying this out loud.
This really does.
Let's hope these prospects never hear this. But apparently some football players are into that kind of thing.
That's what I've heard.
Hey, Phil, you're not going to laugh. You're going to leave me hanging.
What did I miss? I had to go out and take a little break.
Just to recap, we are giving Jose three safeties: Buda Baker, Marcus Williams, and Marcus May.
All right, I'm gonna. This is probably gonna be surprising, especially because of the way I have them ranked on my board. I'm gonna fuck Marcus May.
Marcus is really happy to hear that. Tell us why.
I'm tweeting him now, Jose.
So, Marcus May, I think he's all around. He's a very good player. So that's something that that's why I ranked him as high as I did. I think most people are lower on him than I was. On tape, I mean, he's just a guy who shows up. He makes plays. He's versatile. You can play him in the box. You can play him in man coverage. You can ask him to cover, play center field. So I think you can do a lot with him. But I don't know that he's ever going to be spectacular. I think he's going to come into the NFL. He's going to be a solid player for a long time. And I think he'll make whatever team drafts him happy, but he doesn't have as high a ceiling as these other two guys. The one that I would marry would be Marcus Williams. And Marcus Williams is a guy who's a true free safety. I see a player that has range. He's a good tackler. He's fundamentally sound. And I think he's going to take the ball away in the NFL. I think he can come in here and contribute immediately. Quentin Dempsey is in his, 33 years old? And that affords Marcus Williams the opportunity to come in here and sit for a little bit and play limited snaps and learn. But I think eventually he becomes a top flight free safety in the NFL. And I have to kill a guy who I love. I mean, I really like this player. I really like Buda Baker, and I think he's very versatile, and you could do a lot with him. But, you know, it's to be determined if he is going to be a true free safety or a true strong safety, or if he's going to be better suited to just be your nickel and play in the slot, or if you are going to be able to move him around, and if he is going to become the Honey Badger who he compares to. I think the comps of the Honey Badger are valid, but he doesn't have those ball skills. I mean, he drops far too many interceptions. He does get himself in position, so I think ultimately he could end up being the best player of this group, but I think he comes with more questions.
All right, I'm going to go to Phil next. And Phil, fuck, marry, kill. I'm going to give you three quarterbacks who are in that second, some people might say third tier. In the event that the Bears don't draft a quarterback in round one or even round two, and they decide to draft a true developmental quarterback, I want you to tell me which of these quarterbacks you would fuck, marry, or kill. Chad Kelly from Mississippi, David Webb from California, Brad Kaya from Miami of Florida.
Wow.
You might as well kill David Webb because he's not even in the draft.
Davis.
Yeah. What is his name? It's Davis Webb, right? Well, his name as it's listed in Pro Football Weekly is David Webb, so I'm assuming that it's David Davis Webb. If not, fuck you, Greg Grabiel. It's your list.
Listen, I would kill Davis Webb. I don't see the hype around this guy. You know, in comparison to these other two, I think Davis Webb would be an easy kill for me. And I stand by my board here. I would marry Chad Kelly. I believe his arm talent and his ability to throw the football and learn the position, if that's the way you were going. I've seen him too much in the Rebels, you know, spread scheme, do a so many great things. I could do a highlight film of this guy and people would want to draft him first overall. That's how talented his football player is. The off the field stuff, speaking of Greg Gabriel, just stealing from him, you know, Jim Kelly and Dan Marino, these guys weren't choir boys coming out either. They just didn't have the social media controversy surrounding every football player. The surgeries are concerning, but if we're looking in the middle of somebody that I want to develop, this is an NFL quality prospect. The ceiling is high, and I would marry that kid. And as far as I would F Brad Kaya, I think there's a lot of things to like about him. I think he's a good pocket passer. He's sneaky athletic. I think he brings a level of, you know, needing I think he should have stayed in school, rather. I think he needed a little bit more time to really harness his skill and his craft. The fact that he's out there, I wouldn't have any hesitation looking at this football player at 6'4", I believe 215 pounds. He's kind of thinnish. They grow into his body. He has a slow trigger. I mean, he compares a little bit to Jared Goff, but if you're looking in the later rounds, that kid went first overall. Kaya, to me, might be a little bit better than him in my eyes. Mm-hmm. And therefore, I would F that kid if that's how we were going to play this game.
Who'd he marry?
He married Chad Kelly.
Chad Kelly's like going to disappear for days on end and show up all fucked up. Like, that's what you're going to marry?
It's like Phil's first marriage.
You're going to have to bail him out of jail.
Well, then he can pull his Cutler blow up doll out of the closet.
He shows up to your kids' bar mitzvah all kicked out.
We all get to criticize. Did we get to criticize their picks?
No. As a matter of fact, we didn't.
This guy skipped his 25th overall player. He fucking had the dime piece. He went with the fucking whore.
Hey, I think I've proven that I don't know how to pick them.
Kid fucking had the cheerleader prom queen. He goes with the fucking...
She's Peruvian, Jose. She's Peruvian. Can't say that shit, bro. Oh,
my God. Can't remember that, man.
Hush, hush, hush.
I don't know why that radar was so good.
Oh, my goodness. All right, Shane Marsaw.
Throw it at me.
Kyle no. Or
okay.
Moses Moreno or Cade McNown?
Oh. Oh, Jesus Christ. Oh, Moses Moreno.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and we don't want to draft a quarterback. Think about that.
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
Fucking throw that. What's that? The mother of all bombs on all three of those quarterbacks.
Yeah.
All right, here are the three defensive tackle names that I'm going to give you. Both are projected by our buddy Greg Gabriel to go in the second round. So this is a little high than I think that the Bears are going in the second round. But if they wanted to, you know, choose a nose tackle, somebody to help in the line and perhaps has the versatility to play at defensive end, here are the three names. From Clemson, Carlos Watkins. From Florida, Caleb Brantley. And from Oklahoma, Charles Walker.
Ooh, you had to throw Mr. Brantley in there. He had a good day today.
Yeah, what happened to him? I missed
basically got undrafted.
Yeah, he basically went from a second rounder to he's not going to get drafted.
Really? What happened? What did you do?
2:30 in the morning, and he punched a chick outside of a bar, right?
Holy shit.
Yeah.
I did not know
chicks
that.
Chicks getting punched by football
players. So I'm marrying that motherfucker. Let's go.
So, yeah, let me replace Brantley's name with...
Throw my boy Dalvin Tomlinson in there.
Okay. Oh, then make it too easy for you.
Yeah, let's make it easy for this guy.
He made it easy for me, and I purposely fucked it all up.
Dalvin Tomlinson. So we got Watkins from Clemson. Better than Jonathan Allen.
Watkins from Clemson.
Whoa, wait, did you hear that?
No, Aldo. No, what did he say?
Print it.
Go ahead, say it again.
Dalvin Tomlinson. Jose, you and I talked about this, I believe,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, we did. Yeah,
he's going to be a better pro than Jonathan Allen.
Wow, that is huge.
And I don't think he's smoking crack and saying that. I don't think it's all that crazy.
No, explain that.
No, I just think his game. Listen, I've watched every snap of Jonathan Allen's career. Same thing with Tomlinson. All these guys from Bama multiple times. I'm not sold. And Phil knows my thoughts on this. I'm not sold on Jonathan Allen. If the Chicago Bears draft him third overall, I'm not a fan of that pick on Thursday night whatsoever. Yes, he's got the shoulder issues, and people are saying maybe it's not going to show up for 3 years. I think Jonathan Allen is going to have a nice career like a Alex Brown type career. I just don't see him. I think people that think that he's going to come into the NFL and be a top-notch pass rusher, I don't see it. And the reason that he did get those that sack production is from a guy like Tomlinson. I think he gets overlooked. The thing that pushes Tomlinson down is he's had the multiple leg injuries with the ACL and stuff like that. But this kid, I think it was Jose's words, I think, didn't you say, Jose, that you believe that he was kind of the engine to that line, or the, you know, the overlooked portion that defensive line, right? And I do. I totally agree with Jose. I think somebody's going to steal this kid. And when you look back, and like I said, I'll put my name to it, and I'll smile doing it. I think Tomlinson is going to have a more productive, better career than Jonathan Allen in the NFL. 100% believe that.
Well, and that's the weird thing about scouting these guys from Alabama and some of the other programs that are just so effing rich in talent is, you know, how much did these guys thrive because of the talent around them? I mean, you look at a guy, I've been trying to study Eddie Jackson, the safety from Alabama. And clearly, with those two corners that he had allowed him to kind of freelance and pick off interceptions and so forth. So is he really as good as his numbers say? Tough to say. And
I don't like his tackling ability.
Let me say this about Tomlinson. This kid could have went to Harvard based on his academic ability. But he ended up choosing to play because of his love of football. He was also a three-time heavyweight champion wrestler.
Wow.
Played some soccer. This kid, Shane, is talking about. You want to see those wrestling traits, especially in the interior. Mm-hmm. But when you talk about that kind of high intelligence but chose football, for me, those are the kind of players you slam the table for as a coach that you want in your locker room, and you want to be understanding what you want to do on Sundays.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, and last year we did a lot of talking about A'shaun Robinson and then Jaren Reed, and I know I wouldn't have had any issue with the Bears taking Reed in round two, and, you know, Tomlinson is a guy like that. The kid is a fence post. You are not going to – he's got that country boy strength. You're not gonna push him out of the way. And he's just – like I said, I know it's probably pretty ballsy for me to tie myself to this kid when they're, you know, this consensus top 10 Jonathan Allen, you know,
Matt
player.
Ballsley? What's that? Sorry, go ahead.
No, I this is one of the guys that's, he's a guy that I would love to see added to this defensive line, more so than, if you tell me that I can get Tomlinson in round three rather than Jonathan Allen at pick three overall, it's a no-brainer for me.
No-brainer, okay. So I
think he's being pigeonholed as a run stuffer, and that's what's killing him. But I see a player. He does have some explosion to him, and he does offer you pass rush ability. I think he can play all three.
Phil says sneaky athletic. Like when you're talking about a guy like Brad Kaya, Tomlinson is exactly that. He is sneaky athletic, and what is? I don't have his numbers right here in front of me, but I believe he's around 6'4", maybe 310, 315, right in that range.
He's 6'3", 310.
Okay, yeah, so, and he's around a
5'19", 27-inch vert, 7.68 cone, and a 4.59 second 20 shuttle.
He's not, what was his 20?
4.59,
which
is very good.
Yeah, for a 310-pound guy, yeah, exactly. But he's one of those guys.
He's got the meanest mug face you'll ever see on
TV. Well, all those Alabama guys. Come on, dude. Have you ever seen A'shaun Robinson? You know what he looked like last year? Oh, my God.
Do us a favor, Alex.
He looked like he just got out of prison.
Yeah, it didn't look like that. It looked like that chick that Lauren was banging last summer.
Put it this way. I put Dalvin Tomlinson first guy off the bus
when we're on the road. Yeah.
He'll mug some people to death.
No, you can play this back, and he'll, like I said, Phil brought up a guy yesterday on the Bears Hour live show. It's, you know, a guy like Ryan Anderson. I put Tomlinson kind of in that same category. Not a lot of people are going to be on them because they're not standing out, but they're just football players. And if you told me that I could come away with Ryan Anderson and Tomlinson on my team, I would sign up for that rather than, you know, the flash that's Jonathan Allen that I just don't think he's going to translate the sack production that he had in college. Like you said, Aldo, it's a perfect point with the talent that he is surrounded by. I think that's more so where his pass rush is coming from.
Now, let me play devil's advocate here. Now, I'm just reading from Greg Gabriel's scouting book. He lists his weak points as not being an explosive athlete, lacks speed, but has short area quickness, not much more than a bull rusher when rushing the passer. How do you respond to that?
Well, we kind of had the same talk, and I know Phil can back me up on this a little too. We had the same talk last year when everybody, I know Phil and I can't remember where Jose was on Ashawn so much. You might have had him down a little bit lower than we did, yeah. Jose, or maybe even quite a bit lower. But in Alabama's scheme, it's not just, you know, get after the quarterback. It's a lot of guys that are holding their gap. Four Pick guys. A fence. Yes, exactly. Like I said, the kid's a fence post. He's doing what he was asked to do. Mm-hmm. That's why you're not – if you look at these Alabama players, you never see Jonathan Allen. What did he end up with, around 10 sacks this year? That's about a high watermark for most people in Alabama's scheme. They're not
right.
Just asked to go get the quarterback and that's it. You know, in college it's kind of hard for all your defensive linemen to do that because – especially with a guy like Nick Saban, who's so strict in his philosophies, and you want him to hold those gaps, and that's why you see guys like Reuben Foster running free and making the highlight hits, and guys like Ryan Anderson getting through. You know, it's more about the guys up front and Tomlinson holding that point, and guys like Ryan Anderson and Reuben Foster, like I said, coming in and cleaning up. But I guess maybe that's not a real strong rebuttal, but that's where I would go with it. And just to me, Tomlinson projects better as an NFL player than he does college, a lot like a guy like O.J. Howard. I know it's on the opposite side of the ball, but O.J. Howard was kind of the same. He was really limited in what they allowed him to do at Alabama, and that's why he's going to be a much better pro because they're going to kind of be able to break free from those, you know, break those chains off, and they can kind of do a little bit more of what, you know, they're good at. So I guess that would be my rebuttal to Mr. Gabriel about that.
The two other players then that we are going to either fuck or kill are Charles Walker and from Oklahoma and Carlos Watkins from Clemson. We are taking Caleb Brantley off the list because he's apparently trying to kill his own career. So Walker and Watkins, F or kill, what do you think?
Oh, geez, I'm not real high on either guy, but and I can't, what did I say about Tomlinson? Did I marry him?
You're obviously married.
If you didn't marry him, then you're fucking her for the rest of your life.
I was jerking him off pretty good there, wasn't I?
Is he from Europe?
Oh, Jesus. She's asleep. You can say it.
Is he a citizen?
I guess. What's that?
Stayed?
Yeah, she's still here.
Damn, I owe Phil $20. Motherfucker.
She's KGB.
That's right. Something like that. I will. Okay, I'm marrying Tomlinson. I guess I'm gonna fuck Carlos Watkins.
Yes.
Yep. He's. I'm not big on Watkins or Walker so much, but he. I guess he, to me, he brings a little bit more versatility than a guy like Walker does. You know, he can come in and I think he can play. Like I said, he brings you that versatility that's going to be so important, especially with a guy like Fangio. Yeah, and I'm going to kill Charles Walker. I'm not a huge. It's just, boy, this one's, you really put me on the spot here, Aldo, because I'm not a fan of really either of these guys. But I guess I will, just because of the. Did he even play? In, I don't even think he played in 5 or 6 games this year, right?
Let's see. He had a concussion this year. Yeah, so he missed a few games.
He's the concussion guy. Yeah.
Right. Right.
So that's So fuck him. I'm gonna put a bullet in. I'm not gonna fuck him. I'm just gonna kill him. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. You bring him into the NFL, you're having concussion problems that are knocking you out that long in college. That's not really a good sign for you in the, moving up with the big boys. And he's more of a run guy than getting after the quarterback. But I just, like I said, I'm not a fan. And if you're having big time concussion problems like that, no, I'm not. In fact, I'm gonna take you right off my board until maybe the 6th or 7th round.
I probably should have picked somebody else. I went off.
How about Ogunjobi?
Who the hell watches any Charlotte football? That's gotta be.
I thought Shane was a big fan. No,
Ogunjobi? No, that wasn't me.
Lauren. Wow. It was Lauren, but he's a good player.
Is he?
Yeah, he is a very good player.
Yep.
I got a high grade on that kid,
man.
Well, let me go around the table here and ask each of you guys, what positions do you definitely want to see the team address in the draft? Clearly, let's strike out quarterback, because we're all in agreement that quarterback should be addressed sometime in the draft, either with the first round pick or somewhere in the draft. What other positions would you like to see the team address? Like, for instance, I myself would love to see a running back picked, probably maybe even in the 7th round, a guy like TJ Logan, somebody to help with the depth at running back in case somebody like Jordan Howard is lost to injury. We've got some players, besides the ones who are already on the roster, we've got some players that can step in and fill in for Howard during his absence. What do you guys think are some of the positions that have to be addressed in this draft? Let me begin with you, Jose.
All right, so tight end being so deep, you got to get one in this class, because mm-hmm. you can get a quality player even on day 3 in this class. You're going to get a quality player at that position that could develop into a starter. I think so. Obviously, corner is another one. Obviously, it's very deep in this class. The secondary as a whole, I should say, safety and corner. At safety, you signed Quentin Demps, and he's a little older. You threw a bunch of bodies at corner, same as you did last season. I mean, you for 2 years now, you've thrown a bunch of bodies at those positions. And like Shane said earlier in the show, or it might have been last show, you have Prince Amukamara on a 1-year deal. And you really only have Marcus Cooper signed long term. Hall could be moved to safety, so you don't know if he's going to stick at corner. So there's question marks in the secondary as a whole, and you need to bring in more dynamic young talent, and this is the draft to do it. I think those two positions, you cannot leave this draft without grabbing one of these guys. I mean, those two positions go pretty damn deep. I mean, corner, we were talking about it earlier, you go 20 deep there, more over 20. At tight end, I mean, you got like 15 guys who are quality players and would probably be ranked much higher in other years.
I don't know about 15, but I'm with you. It's a strong class. I mean, by the time you get to, guys like Jordan Leggett, who is probably anywhere between 7 and 10 on somebody's board for tight ends. After that, you're looking at guys like Jeremy Sprinkle from Arkansas, Eric Salbert from Drake, and those guys, you know.
Those guys can play, Aldo.
Yeah, you think so? You think that they can step in and compete for the number one tight end position in a year or two?
Eventually, yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, those two, the two that you just named, yeah.
All right, so you've got tight end, you've got cornerback, correct? You said?
The secondary. I cheated and I fucked these other two guys. They're not going to have anything left.
Well, they can they can vouch for what you're saying. Phil, what do you think?
Sum up what he said. I'm sorry.
It's all right. You taking another
shit? Phil's taking another shit.
The diarrhea.
No. I know he said safety. I thought he was just saying one.
No, he said running back, offensive line, tight end, wide receiver, defensive line, linebacker, and secondary. Jose tackled the defensive backs and tight end positions.
Defensive back, but I think tight end is definitely. I'm just looking at this based on the amount of bodies they have at positions. You look at it, and it really reeks. Pass rusher is up there. You've got Leonard Floyd, Lamar Houston may be cut. You don't know. That's the rumor going out. But where there's smoke, there's fire. He's coming off multiple knee injuries. Where's his future? Willie Young was banged up, playing hurt. He's in, he's an older player. And then you got young Leonard Floyd and then McPhee, who's been banged up as well. So looking
Roy
at
Robb.
That.
I forgot about Roy Robb.
Well, I think he's going to play the five tech. I don't think they're going to put – he's so big. I don't know.
They are moving him. That's why he changed his number.
Yeah, I think he's going to play inside – there, I'm excited about that football player, Jose, bringing him up, but I don't want to go on that tangent. Just looking at these guys, they have a lot of injury concerns and what have you. So I think top of the second round, going back to our past show, Terrell Basham could be a guy that's a focal point. If I'm the GM, I'm looking to get another pass rusher in here. If I go offense, obviously quarterback number one. Then, I think a higher priority would be paid to pass rusher because of what you guys talked about earlier with the offensive lineman, Jose. The ultimate talent of that drops at some point where you can get a guy like Basham on the football field to help your team now. Corners, I believe, go deep. I love Demontre Casey. Morrow, as we talked about, my favorite corner maybe in the whole draft is Lewis from Michigan. Mm-hmm. I just think that this football player, if he was taller, he'd be talked about maybe better than Lattimore. That's how highly I think of him personally, watching him on the tape. He's a junkyard dog, a bully. He's not afraid of backing down to anybody. I know he had the off-the-field stuff too, which might push him down. I would take a chance on that football player if you're going corner. But I also think wide receiver really is important here because you look at what Glennon is. If he's your starter, he needs to have some outside talent. You got Cam Meredith. You have an unknown in White. You have signed Wheaton. And who is the other receiver? They saw the kid from Tennessee, Wright. So, and you got Daniel Braverman. These are smaller guys. I think you need a big target, a high point player for Glennon. Mm-hmm. And I think that would become a priority for me in the third. I would go off quarterback, pass rusher, wide receiver. That's how I'd play it based on the way I look at this draft.
Shane, what are your thoughts?
Well, did anybody take defensive end, five technique?
Nope.
No.
I think that's, Phil brought up a good point when you're talking about, the numbers at a position. I think everybody knows you got a guy, I think that really needs to be re-signed, immediately to an extension is Akeem Hicks. But, you look after him, you have Capron Lewis-Moore, Mitch Unrein, and Jonathan Bullard. So Jonathan Bullard's really the only guy out of our defensive ends that is signed to any contract beyond 2017.
Don't give up on him. Right, Jose?
No, that's right. What about Robertson Harris? How long is he signed?
Well, he's they're moving him. That's when everybody thought that he was going to be a outside linebacker, and he was number 47, but just kind of a under-the-radar note, the Bears switched his number to 74 when Jonathan Bullard took number 90, and they're moving him. But like Phil said, I want to say he's 6'7".
He's a big boy, 285.
So maybe he's your answer to Cornelius Washington, you know, the extremely athletic, you know, Tarzan type player that you want to just kind of groom and see where he is. And I mean, obviously for them to be in, you know, bringing him in as an undrafted free agent last year and keeping him around. So they must, you know, obviously see something there, but you just don't have the numbers there. You don't have anybody that's signed to any type of a contract. So I think that's obviously got to be a focus going into the draft to, I mean, just contracts aside, just numbers at that position alone, and, you know, would dictate that. And this is kind of a cop-out here, and I'm not saying that I want to invest in this position in the draft, but I want some kicking competition brought in.
Shane, would you draft Zane Gonzalez in the 7th round?
I hate drafting these guys. I mean, I do, but I'm just not I have zero faith in Connor Barth or anything like that. And I mean, even Pat O'Donnell's an okay punter. I mean, I probably have a hard time drafting either one of these guys.
Shane, you're with me on the Bears drafting another running back, correct?
I'm a big fan of Deontay Foreman. I don't know. Did you guys see that story that came out today?
I literally just saw that.
I believe he's one of the youngest players in this entire draft too. So I said, for him being so young, and then
how old was his son?
15 days old or something like that.
Yeah. He's born premature.
Yeah, he was 15 ounces, I think they said, when he was born. He knew his son was in bad shape, but then when he went out and played, he knew that, and then the next day he went out and played against Texas Tech, and he had the, you know, biggest rushing totals of his career. I think, what did they say, he went over 200 or 300 yards that game, and then he called his mom after the game, and she said that his son had just passed away. But, I mean, I was a fan of Deontay Foreman. I think he's probably going to go higher than what the Bears want to invest. But yeah.
Both you and Jose are big fans of this.
Yep. Yeah. And I agree. I think he would be have fun opposing defenses going out there with Jordan Howard and then spelling him with Deontay Foreman. I think that would be fantastic, and that would only help out a guy like Mike Glennon in the long run, or whoever you draft in the draft at quarterback. But I think you put it perfectly, Aldo. I think that's an overlooked position because there's so many
questions.
There's so many questions with Jeremy Langford. We don't know what's going to happen there. Kadeem Carey can flash a little bit, but then he'll miss 2 weeks with an ankle injury, or they just, you know, push him down the depth chart. They got David Cobb there, and then they signed Benny Cunningham from the Los Angeles Rams. So I would like to see a legit number two running back brought in the draft. And I said, this would make the fourth straight year that they've taken a guy probably maybe in the fourth round if they draft another running back there. But I do think it's an overlooked position that does need some attention.
Yeah. You know, the unfortunate thing for the Bears is they really need to draft at just almost every position with the exception of offensive guard and center, right? They need a quarterback. They need a running back. They need a wide receiver. They need a tight end. They need an offensive tackle. They need a defensive tackle. They need a defensive end. They need a linebacker. They need an edge rusher. They need a cornerback. They need a safety.
They need an apple bomb. They got to put me on.
You know, and so, but they've only got 7 picks. And so if I were to prioritize them, and maybe that's the question, you know, that we should ask is prioritizing them, because I got a feeling all of you guys are going to say quarterback. And I won't say that because I don't think, unless they trade down, I don't think you devote that number 3 overall pick to a quarterback. And I know I heard...
We Can we jump in here and just
please?
Let me ask.
Devour that point.
Okay, I'm interrupting the conversation here because, as I suspected, we did go into a third hour. I instigated this debate about whether a quarterback is really imperative with a third overall pick, and we think it was a debate worthy of your attention. So, I'm going to post part three of our draft week podcast series late on Wednesday. Actually, I should say Wednesday afternoon. And so let me also urge you to stop by bearsbarroom.com. The guys have worked up last-minute mock drafts and sleepers that they think that the Bears should target. And I posted a truly, truly sick video as part of my mock draft video series. Look for that video, but I must caution you that it truly is uniquely sick as far as videos about Bears mock drafts go. But I think that by now you got the idea that the Bears Barroom is much like your local pub. You can get intelligent conversation about football, and it can quickly devolve into some pretty revolting humor. So anyway, thank you very much for listening and staying with us. And always remember, if you drink, please don't drive, and always bear down.